This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I was this morning just lying in the front in the Lord's presence, and I couldn't help think it was exactly 3 years ago. We were up in Johannesburg still, and I remember the Lord had spoken to me about leaving and coming down to Somerset West. And, you know, Johannesburg is an amazing city. Any Joburgers here? Any former Joburgers here? It's an incredible city. Love the vibe. Love the excitement. Love the openness of that city. It's a beautiful city. I want to encourage you as well, if the Lord speaks to you to go to Johannesburg, don't rebuke the demons. It's probably God speaking to you as well. It's always interesting when people get a word to come down to Cape Town. They don't really need confirmations. But then normally it's when I was up in Joburg, pastor there, they would come to inform me. Pastor, I'm leaving. I'm going to Cape Town. Just want you to know. But down here, if somebody feels they need to go up to Johannesburg or Pretoria, they come and they ask me for prayer, to pray with them that they would hear the Lord correctly. They don't inform me, they ask me. So, yeah. But I remember just being up there and, you know, just seeing the Lord's hand in the congregation and especially just sensing His Spirit move in the worship. And it was so amazing. So beautiful. And I remember God spoke into my heart that we had to leave, we had to come down. And our season there was done. And I remember bawling my eyes out, just lying on the floor. And I told God, I don't want to go unless your presence goes with us. Unless your presence manifests. Unless I know that your presence is going to be there. And this morning, so special, just sensing the Lord's presence and sensing God's people worshiping Him. So, Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the fact that you are building your church and that so much, Lord, it's got very little to do with us and what we can see and what we can do. So we thank you this morning for the intangibles of life in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, how you heal hearts. Doesn't matter how hard those hearts seem and how dry they might seem. You're still the one that brings forth life out of things that have been burned down and destroyed and ravaged. And so I honor you, Holy Spirit, for what you are doing in this congregation. I honor you for the hunger in the hearts of your people. And I honor you for your willingness to engage with us. And I pray, Lord, that you would cause your presence to rest upon us. We love you. We love you. I'm going to read for us this morning out of John, the 20th chapter, and see how far I get. On any given Sunday, you are either winning some games or losing some games. The question is just, are you winning or losing like a man? No, that's not John 20. That is from the movie Any Given Sunday, Al Pacino's speech. But on a Sunday, a long time ago, we're going to join the story of a gathering like ours, a little bit smaller, but very significant nonetheless. It says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the Sunday, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And so we see that on a Sunday, a day like today, there were a group of believers gathered together. And it says the doors were locked because of fear. And this morning we're in this room and the doors are open. But I know that so often when we come together, it can be that the doors of our hearts are locked because of fear. Fear of what lie ahead of us in the year to come, fear of something that might go wrong, fear of a doctor's report, or fear of making the same mistake again, or fear of being put in a situation that we cannot control, or fear that things won't change, or fear that my dream won't come to pass. Whatever it might be, whenever fear is in our hearts, it causes the doors of our hearts to be locked. It tries to shut out life. It tries to prevent life from flowing into us, and it tries to prevent life from flowing out of us. And then that's why it's so important that we come together on days like this, because stuff happened to us during the week. Things happen, and fear wants to come and sit upon us, and voices come and voices bombard us. And then it's important that we come together on a day like today, because I thank God that on that day and still today, the miracle happens, and that is that when God's people gather together, it doesn't matter whether the doors are locked or not, Christ wants to come. He wants to enter that room. He wants to enter that environment. And the Bible there says, John recording this, and it says, Jesus came and he stood among them. And when Christ is among us, things happen. Things change. We cannot be the same. We need to make decisions, don't we, as to whether we are going to try and remain in control or whether we are going to surrender to Christ the Lord to come and do what only He can do. And I know for a fact that in this year, this is the year where Christ wants to reveal Himself to us. This is the year where Christ wants to walk into our homes, wants to walk into our businesses, wants to walk into our schools, wants to walk into our relationships. And in spite of the fear that might want to grip your heart, in spite of the lies that want to minister to you, Christ wants to show Himself to you. Something happens when Christ comes, doesn't it? When Christ comes, fear has to go. I want to encourage some of you that maybe you're battling with some things. Maybe it's fear, or maybe it's some other manifestation of fear, rejection or shame, or a feeling of failure. Whatever it is, don't focus on trying to get rid of that thing. Focus on seeing Christ. Make your heart's prayer, Jesus, I want to see you. Open my eyes so I can see you, because it is in seeing Him that we are changed. It is in seeing Him that we are transformed. It's not in fighting against those things. It's not in even trying to change ourselves. It is in seeing Christ. What worked for the saints back then still works for us, an encounter with Christ. And I believe at the beginning of 2017, Christ wants to say to this church, peace be with you. Doesn't matter what happens, doesn't matter where you go, doesn't matter what happens to your kids, doesn't matter what happens to your company, doesn't matter what happens to your family, peace be with you. The amazing thing is, doors can't keep Christ out. Christ's presence in your life isn't dependent upon whether you're with us or whether you're in Australia. Christ's presence with us is dependent upon the shed blood of Christ and whether we make use of that invitation. They say, Jesus, your presence in my life is my birthright. It is my birthright. I've been designed, I've been created to have the presence of God with me. Not based upon my goodness. Christ doesn't come into our lives like Santa Claus who awards us for good behavior. He comes into our lives in God's presence, and His Spirit floods our lives based upon Christ's perfect obedience to the Father. And because Christ was perfectly obedient, we can receive the presence of God. And so I believe with all of my heart that God wants to leave His peace with us, wants to bless you with peace. If you are struggling, we pray for those with physical healing now, but if you're struggling with fear and you don't have peace, you feel disoriented already at the beginning of this year, we want to pray for you so you don't have to go into this year that way. You don't have to struggle with the anxiety. God's peace is going to come upon you. Something else happens, though, when Christ enters into our lives. He gives us His peace, but then He also gives us a mission. And so at the beginning of this year, I believe it's so important for us, once again, briefly, to just take a look at what was Christ's mission. Because I believe that Christ wants to show Himself to us as we gather together in worship. He wants to show Himself to us, but then also He wants to reveal Himself to us as we follow in His footsteps. And this is what He says. He says, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And Milani shared it with us at the end. Christ's heart for those trapped in the fires. Christ's heart is for those sitting, seeing everything around them burn down, through divorce or through sin or through just the ravaging effects of life, Christ's heart is for them. There's a story that I read that shook me to the core. If you can go, it's the 2, 4, 6. It's the 6th slide, Lawrence. There's an interesting story. 1985. It says that a man drowned while attending a party for New Orleans lifeguards who were celebrating their first drowning-free swimming season in memory. Jerome Moody, 31, was found on the bottom at the deep end of a New Orleans recreation department pool. At the end of the party, Tuesday, department director said, Moody was not a lifeguard and was at the party as a guest. He had not been swimming and was fully dressed, she said. 4 lifeguards were on duty at the party, and more than half the 200 people there were certified lifeguards. The body was found as the pool was being cleared at the close of the party. Lifeguards pulled the body out and attempted to revive Moody until emergency medical attempts arrived. They failed to resurrect him or resuscitate him. Fascinating, sad story, isn't it? 200 people together, 100 of them lifeguards. They're celebrating. We lifeguards. And we have gone this year without losing one person. And then in the midst of the celebration, in the midst of all of them being qualified as a lifeguard, someone drowns. And that story shook me to the core of my being. So I realized as beautiful and as awesome as the life that we have just celebrated right now in our midst, I think you will agree with me, nothing comes close to this, being in God's presence, seeing God, sensing God. We know that celebration cannot stay here. That they're literally right now, in this very moment, people drowning outside of what we are experiencing. Right now. And God has called us and equipped us and has given us the life. And Jesus said this, if you can go back a few slides, Lawrence, Matthew 4, 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw 2 brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus says. So Jesus' first call is first this, come to me. And this morning we heard it again, over and over and over again. Come to me just as you are. Don't try and perform. Don't try and impress me. Don't try and pretend that you're someone that you're not. Don't just put on your Sunday best. Don't put on your Sunday voice. Come just as you are. Come. But then come and follow me. And the beautiful invitation God gives to us before we go and do things is first to come to him. But when we come to him, always we will hear, as Christ told his disciples, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And look at the beautiful promise Jesus gives us. He says, and I will make you fishers of men. Not you will become fishers of men. Not you will turn yourselves into fishers of men. I will make you. As we follow Christ, he makes us fishers of men. And so this morning, I'm so thankful for what God has manifested in our midst, because this is what the world needs. This is what the world needs. And this is what we need to be taking to the places around us that don't have Christ. And so we are praying and we are trusting God that soon we'll be able to start an evening service in Strand. Hopefully next week, even just get together and worship. Watch out for your SMS. I'll try and get it right the first time. But we'll get together and we'll just praise and we'll worship and we'll pray. We want to tackle Strand. We want to go in there. We want to flood the Strand with the goodness and the love and the grace of God. Because God has called us to take what we have to the world that needs it. And then we'll do that as a congregation. But I want to ask you that you would partner with us in saying, God, come and make me a fisher of men again. Help me to fish. Help me to go out there and to catch people with your goodness. I'm going to show you a video clip, and I don't know about you, but I wish fishing for souls could be something like this. Lawrence, thanks. Oh!
alone.
Don't you sometimes wish it could be that easy? You would just walk out the door and just go to your work and the fish would just come. Right? We would just rock up in Strand and say, hey, Strand, here we are. And everybody would flood. It would just come. We would just go down the river of life and the fish would just jump into our boats because we're just so awesome. Doesn't quite work that way, does it? We've got to go. We've got to cast out the bait. We've got to go then. We've got to invite people. You've got to say, come. We found someone as the answer. We have someone that can save. We found someone that can heal. We found someone that's made a difference to my marriage. We've someone who's given my family hope. Someone who has come and when I had nowhere out, provided a friend, provided a safe community. Unless we go out, unless we cast out the net, unless we cast out the bait, the fish are not just going to jump into the boat. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes you go out and people are so desperate and you just have to mention the name of Jesus and people respond. But in general, it takes some prayer. It takes some persistency. But I believe that the rivers are full of fish all around us. And that God wants to enable us to step out there and to make a difference, to reach them with the good news of Christ. Matthew 2 verse 10 to 12. As when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. And I believe that as I won't have time to go into the rest, we'll do that next week. I believe that as we say yes to Christ, to become fishers of men, that we can count upon his divine provision. He always provides there where he leads us. It's a good chance we'll be able to use a church venue for the evening service in Strand that requires minimal setup, partnered with another church that doesn't have an evening service there. God is already busy providing for us. And he's busy already working in the hearts of people. And I believe that we will see multiplication and exponential growth if we say yes again to the call of God being fishermen. The beauty about that story is that Father God sent Jesus into the world, ordained Jesus to be birthed through Mary, and that conception was miraculous. It was a beautiful, miraculous conception by the Holy Spirit, no physical man involved. The dream that God gave Mary about Jesus being birthed, that was miraculous. But the Bible doesn't say that the birth was miraculous. It's the miraculous conception, but probably a pretty normal, painful birth. But the awesome thing is that the Bible says that the wise men being sent from the east following the star, coming with a provision, they were led supernaturally following a star. They were led supernaturally to a very normal, natural occurrence. Mary and Joseph found themselves in Bethlehem, not because God sent them to Bethlehem, not because they heard the voice of the angel say, go to Bethlehem. They found themselves in Bethlehem. Why? Because Caesar Augustus demanded they go to Bethlehem. So they were simply just being obedient to the government, simply just being obedient to what they needed to do. And as they were simply obedient, as they simply found what they needed to do with an attitude of worship in their natural human condition, the supernatural provision comes. So I want to just speak this over so many of us this morning. Don't get stressed out about where the provision is going to come from. Just be obedient to what God has told you to do. And just be obedient even to the natural things. Be obedient to your boss. Be a good worker. Be obedient to your parents. Be obedient to your teachers. Walk in submission to the authorities God has already given you. And see, as Yvonne shared with us, if God will not come and bless you with his provision. Our responsibility is just the obedience. God's responsibility is the provision. And we want to pray for some of you that feel a bit stressed out about provision. And I want to encourage you, don't be. So firstly, God will give us his divine provision. I'm going to do one more. And secondly, he will give us his divine affirmation. When Jesus was baptized, immediately went up from the water and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. You need to know, I need to know that as we say yes again to God's call to be fishers of men, fishers of women in this coming year, to extend the grace of God, the love of God, to invite people to our parties and to just sharing life together, that God says, my provision will be with you. I will provide. You don't have to stress about it. I will provide. I'm not a man that I should lie. And secondly, he says over us, know that I love you. Know that I love you. You are my beloved son, my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. That was the basis before Jesus did anything in his ministry, before he stepped out. The basis of that knowledge actually was what propelled him to go into difficult places. I am loved by God. I am God's beloved son. My father is pleased with me. I am his beloved daughter. My father is pleased with me. Divine affirmation. Whatever else anybody else is saying over you, that's the roar that goes forth from the tongue of the Lion of Judah. That's what he's roaring over your life. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. I'm pleased with you. Why? Because you are incredible and good and obedient all the time. No, because you are identifying with Christ's obedience. You say, I'm in Christ. Christ, I accept what you've done for me. Christ, I thank you for what you've done for me. And as I accept that grace, so I do become more obedient. And I do start to walk in fuller obedience. But I don't start there. I start with, I'm loved. I'm loved. I want you just to close your eyes. And I want you to just look at yourself at the beginning of this year. There's a story picks up with Jesus having been baptized, coming out of the water. And his baptism speaks of him identifying with our sins. He did it now, just going into the water. Later he would do it, literally entering into our sin and entering into hell for us. Identifying with us. And I want you to picture your worst failure, your worst sin, your worst thing that you are struggling with right now. When Christ was baptized and when he was crucified on the cross, which was the fulfillment of that baptism, he identified with that sin, was put on him. That thing that always comes to stand between you and your spouse, the thing that always catches up with you in the middle of the night, that thing that has you destroy relationships around you or cause you to feel isolated, cause you to feel not comfortable in the presence of God. And Christ was baptized. He identified himself with that. On the cross, he was rejected because of that sin. Your identification is this. And Christ arose from the water. When he rose from the grave, if you have accepted him, you are in him. And then over you on this given day, this given Sunday, Christ's obedience opens up the door for your heart to hear what Father God is saying over you. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. And I am well pleased with you. Father, I thank you that right now, at the beginning of this year, I can take authority over every spirit and voice of accusation and even of dead religion that would want to keep us from hearing that voice. And I thank you, God, that I can come and speak open ears over the hearts of your saints to know that as we go out into this season of catching fish, of following you, and as you are making us fishers of men, we can hear your voice always. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. I want you just to say this after me. I am God's beloved child, in whom he is well pleased. I am God's beloved child, in whom he is well pleased. He loves me, and he will provide wherever he leads me in this year. Father, I speak your provision over each one here, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for families. I thank you for individuals. I thank you, Lord God, that we can welcome the newness of life this morning, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you that we can welcome the promise that you are giving us of resurrection life, That on any given Sunday, on any given day, Lord God, we are already overcomers because of what you have done for us. Lord, that failure and rejection and the lies from the enemy that says that it is over, that gets destroyed over our lives. We will not believe those lies, Lord, but that we will encourage one another unto Christ-likeness and godliness. Father, we honor you and we worship you. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us the mission here in this area to go out and to do what you have called us to do. Thank you, Father. I want us to stand and I want to give us an invitation this morning. Let us all stand. I know the Lord has already done so much in our hearts. But I would like you to, just in your heart, just there where you are, that you would just, if you can, I want to force you, it's your own commitment that you make to the Lord. It's a beautiful thing about following Christ. It's intensely personal, even as we follow him together as a group. That you would say to Christ again just this morning, Lord Jesus, I hear your call to follow you. I'm an occupational therapist, or I'm a teacher, or I'm a scholar, I'm a student, or I'm a home executive, I'm a CEO, or I'm working in a local spa, or whatever your situation might be, but God, I hear your call this morning to follow you. The Lord showed me a picture right now of some of you feel you need to get rid, you need to sort of take off, you've got this overall on, you've got to take off the overall first, and then you put on Sunday clothes or better looking clothes before you can follow Christ, and the Lord says no. Just right now, just where you are. Don't wait for things to change. Don't wait for you to have done Bible school or for you to have resolved that issue with your child or resolved the issue with your spouse. Right now, you say, Christ, I will follow you. And you make that commitment. Say to God, God, I will follow. And secondly, I follow you understanding that the call to follow you is so that I can become a fisher of men. And I want to ask you that you would take me beyond my fears. Make me this here. Teach me how to fish. So it's two simple prayers. Christ, I will follow you. Christ, teach me how to fish. Just pray that. Just stay where you're standing. Your own words. It's accounting of the cost, maybe. But we've sensed him this morning. And I feel an urge in my heart just to say that it's not for us. What we sense is just the beginning. He's going to open the windows of heaven. He showed me. Before we moved down here from Johannesburg, he showed me. His feet in our midst. His presence here. We're sensing it more and more like we're smelling rain. But it's not just for us, saints. It's for those drowning all around us. If you are here this morning and you feel like you're drowning, you feel like there's this party going on around you and people are singing and people are experiencing life, but you feel like you're drowning. You don't have joy, you don't have hope. You don't know that if you were to die tomorrow or maybe walk out of here and not breathe another breath, you don't know that you are safe eternally. You haven't had an encounter with Christ. You don't know his voice. He doesn't speak to you. You don't hear him. You are drowning. You haven't surrendered to Christ. And I want to ask you this morning that while our eyes are closed and we're praying, believers, that if you are here with us, then you are the reason why we came together. And God let you here say to you, you are mine. You're my beloved child. You don't have to live as if you don't have a father who loves you and who cares for you. And he would quickly slip up your hand because we would love to pray with you. Thank you. You can drop your hand again once you've raised it. So we would love to pray with you. And that is, you just want to say, I feel like I'm drowning this morning. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know God's voice, God's presence. And I want to come back home. Or maybe you've prayed the prayer, the camp sometime, or in a moment of desperation, but you've drifted from Him. You carry a deep, deep secret. Outwardly, things look good, but inwardly, there's some dark secrets. The Lord calls you forth into His light this morning, into freedom. Is there anybody like that this morning? You just want to say, Henry, I just need somebody to pray with me. I want to surrender to Christ. Hallelujah. I would like us all just to pray this prayer. It's a prayer of consecration. I know those of you who have raised your hands that I know you, I know that you have a relationship with Christ. And so we're going to pray this prayer of dedication all together. Lord God, this morning I come to You because You have first come to me. Thank You for calling me to follow You. This morning I accept that call and I leave behind all of my thoughts, all of my ideas of what it means to follow You. Thank You that You will lead me as You have promised me. I give You my heart again. I place it in Your hands. And I thank You that I can trust You. Make me a fisher of men. Teach me how to catch some fish with a bite of Your love. Use me for the glory of Your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we honor You that we can surrender the rest of this day and this week, God, into Your hands. There's a call in this room for fishers of men just to come forward, just as a sign to the Lord. You've been wrestling with this for quite a while. There's even been some lies in your mind that you're not an evangelist. You've sort of separated that from the rest of your life. This morning, the Lord is just calling you. Take that first physical step. It's not everybody that will do that, but I believe that there are some of us here this morning. You just need to take that physical step. It's the first step of obedience to the Lord. And I believe that He wants to release some destiny over many of us this morning. So we're going to pray with you. We're going to trust God to release your feet to go where He wants you to go. And that collectively together we will go into His purposes. We will worship. So one more song. And while we do that, I want to encourage you to come to the front. If you need to get your kids, you're welcome to do that. But I believe that quite a few of us this morning, just to give the Lord a blank check, blank page, and say, God, come and use me. There are three men here. You've made some vows to God when you were in a difficult position. But what you would do with your life, what you would do with your family, what you would do with your finances. You said, Christ, I will follow You. This morning, I believe the Lord is bringing you to that memorial stone of Your promise. And He's inviting you into more. I was just overwhelmed this morning, understanding that even when I prayed to God and I made the move out of obedience to God, there was a part of me that didn't know how God was going to do it. Didn't know how I would sense Him again in that way. Didn't know how, even how things would work out with you guys. And He's doing so much more than I could ever imagine. Some of us, we're stuck in the past. God wants to usher you into a new season without limits, without the shadow of the past over your shoulder. You got to say, God, I'm giving You my conditional obedience. Some of you need to simplify your prayers to simply this one thing. God, I'll go wherever You want me to go, as long as Your presence is there. And he's going to show you and teach you what that means. He's going to open your senses, your spiritual senses. Hunger for the word. Sensitivity to his voice. A love for his people. Thank you, Jesus. I think we've got some pastors, some small group facilitators. You can come and help me to pray. Someone anoint these people as we worship. If you need to go, then please, you can slip out quietly. Please do join us for the picnic. We'll fellowship together and we'll continue to love on each other. But if you need prayer, please come. Some need to go. You need to go and get your kids. And you need to consecrate them to the Lord as fishes of men, as small as they are. Bring them so we can anoint them and we can pray for them. Hallelujah. Lord, I speak your grace and your protection, your provision over us as a congregation. I thank you for these wonderful people. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. Thank you for our visitors, that you bless them, Father, wherever they would be going back to. Prosper them, protect them, and cover them. May they know that you are with them and that you love them greatly. Thank you for the love of God. Thank you for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ upon our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.